evening. We'll be reading two texts, I think. Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 26, and James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. James 1, 26 says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on the tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." James 3, 1 to 12. "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we turn the whole animal." Verse 4. "Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark." Verse 6. "The tongue also is a fire, a ward of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it's itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures have been tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." Verse 9. "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water."
So today's talk and link to the passages that we've been reading is called "Speak Well." That passage, the second passage that JJ read out, is often called "Taming the Tongue." Okay, so we're going to be talking about what we say. And it's quite challenging, even just reading those words. I have been very challenged this week. I've been trying to be very careful what I say all week. But it's James, as we are discovering and already know some of us, is very, very direct. Eye-wateringly direct, I would say. And I just want to start with an encouragement for those of us that are going to feel a bit with this passage in this talk. In verse 2, and you might just want to, for those of us that have got our Bibles or our phones or whatever, and it may go up on the screen as well, but in verse 2, it says this: "We all stumble in many ways." Okay, so I just want to start with that to encourage us that we all stumble. We all stumble. And that's part of being people and being humans. But it then goes on to say in verse 3, all about the tongue. And it talks about the fact that we are controlled by our tongue. A bit like a bit. A bit is the part, it's like a metal thing that goes in the mouth of a horse, for those of us whose English is not your first tongue, as it were. It's a bit like the bit in a horse or the rudder on a ship. And a bit and a rudder, they're quite small things compared to the size of the horse and compared to the size of a ship. Just like the tongue is quite a small part of our body. But James tells us in this passage, doesn't he, that it can have a hugely destructive impact. Just like the spark, it says in those verses, can start a forest fire. A tiny little spark can start a forest fire. That's the sort of impact that the tongue can have. And in fact, even goes on and says that it can cause so much harm and evil. One little comment can be so destructive, can't it? In the second part of verse 6, it corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Whoa, this is strong stuff, guys, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I read these words and thank goodness. James is saying here that our tongue and our words can cause so much damage to others, to ourselves, and can come from the darkest of places. It goes on in the passage to say, and we can try to tame the tongue, like taming animals. I don't know if any of you have trained dogs or cats or other animals. And it talks about taming animals, and we can tame the tongue. But it then says, but the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And then we move on to verse 9 in that passage. And in a sense, we kind of really get to the heart of what speech is. So it says, with the tongue in verse 9, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. So with our mouths, we both praise God. We've been praising God with song this morning. But also, we curse others with the same mouth, the same tongue. Out of the mouth comes praise and cursing. And then it says, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So what he's saying here is that what we say comes from who we are. Just as a fig tree can't bear olives, can it? Bears figs. Or a salt spring can't produce fresh water. So what comes out of our mouths comes from our hearts, doesn't it? It's an outflowing of the heart. It comes from the very core of who we are. Now, I've got an illustration. This is from our garden. And does anyone know what this is, actually? Yes, very good. 10 out of 10. It's a dahlia. We haven't got many flowers left in our garden, but this is the last one, so that's why we've got the dahlia. It's a dahlia, and they're just sort of on the turn, but when they were in their full flow, they're really stunning colours, actually, quite a contrast of orange and yellow there. But this is a dahlia. It's not a rose. It's not a sunflower. It's not a daffodil. It's a dahlia. Now, as I was preparing this talk, I did a bit of research on biology and plants. I didn't get very far in this research, but I did discover, and many of you will know far more than I, you teachers, and that plants have a DNA. And this DNA is in the nucleus. And it's from the DNA that I guess everything becomes what it is. So it tells this plant to have red and orange and yellow flowers and to flower at certain times of the year and all those sorts of things. So actually who this plant is in a sense, or what this plant is right to the core of its being. What you see links to what's deep inside. And it's the same with us, isn't it? Now, I've got another plant here, but I need to put my gardening gloves on for this one. Okay, this is a bramble. And it's very prickly, hence why I'm wearing these gloves. In fact, Nathan very kindly went and got this for me yesterday. But I don't know about you, and I'm not blaming the bramble, because a bramble is a bramble, and it can't help being a bramble, but it just isn't quite as pretty, is it, as the dahlia. In fact, I don't particularly want to touch it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to kind of get too near it. So I wonder, who are we? Are we a dahlia or are we a bramble? I suspect sometimes we're dahlias with what we say and sometimes we're brambles. That's a reality, isn't it? We're probably a bit of both. But I do wonder, this week, I wonder, what words have you said to other people? Oh, dear. I knew when I was writing this that some of us were going to have some interesting weeks. You always know with something. I wonder the things that we've said. You know, some of us default when we're tired, when we're hungry, when we're, you know, had a, I don't know, let's not get into women's things, but there's women's things as well, all those sorts of things. We gravitate towards certain negative things, don't we? And we've got some negative things up here in how we speak. And we're going to come back out the other end again, okay, guys? We're going through the difficult bit at the moment. But, you know, which of these do we tend to be when we're just in that slightly harder place? Can we be a bit unkind? You know, maybe a bit manipulative, maybe critical. I feel there's quite a critical spirit over our nation, actually. You know, you just have to read the paper. I mean, there's dreadful things happening in the world, don't get me wrong, but, you know, we just, British people love to moan, don't they? Love to be critical. What is it? Are we harsh? Or maybe can we be a bit gossipy? You know, just with our friends. Oh, I don't like that person. Or a bit snipey. Or maybe we can exaggerate or be untruthful. Or a bit negative. Or we kind of blame others when actually, really, it's our fault kind of thing. Or when we speak, are we a bit proud? Or can we be a bit angry? And I put this last one on, and I'm sure, you know, it's a really strong word, and I don't sense there's hateful people here, actually. But we talk a lot in the media about hate speech, don't we? And it is a real issue today, this whole hate speech and things that are said that are not good. I don't know if you're a rhino. Okay? A rhino is somebody that when you want to say something, you say it. And you say it loudly and very robustly, and you go charging in, and rah, you know, out it all comes. Are you a rhino? Or are you a hedgehog? Now, there's quite a cute little hedgehog, actually, to say I quite liked it, but I'm not sure I want to pick that hedgehog up. And hedgehogs are prickly, a bit like that bramble, they're prickly. I'm a bit of a hedgehog. I'm more of a hedgehog than a rhino. And, you know, I'll kind of go in on myself and I'll sulk and I'll be all a bit snipey and a bit passive-aggressive. And, two different types of people. I mean, they're stereotypes, aren't they? Are you a bit prone to gossiping, you know? Did you hear what she said? I'm not gossiping, but, he's really getting on my nerves. What do you think about? There'll be other phrases. Those are ones that I can think of. The next one is about swearing, actually. I haven't put any swear words up, obviously. But, you know, do you swear? I'm actually hearing more Christians swear now than even a few years ago. And I think in society, there is so much swearing going on. It's around us all the time. And for some people, it is a real temptation. In the Bible, just like a couple of weeks ago, we said there are hundreds and hundreds of verses about poverty. There are hundreds and hundreds of verses about how we speak. Now, why is that? Because we struggle in this area, don't we? That's why there's so much in the Bible. Ephesians 5:4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. In Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Proverbs is full of verses about how we speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And another one, Proverbs Fern, I don't know if Fern's, perhaps she's in creche today, but she was talking a few weeks ago about having a guard on her mouth. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And up here, we've got, the Bible tells us how to speak. And these are just some of the ways. The first few are from fruits of the Spirit, actually. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, grace, encouragement, edifying, that's building others up rather than knocking them down. Humble, being truthful, being wise, being comforting. You know, I don't know if you can think of a time when somebody has said something to you that has been really helpful, really encouraging, really comforting, really inspiring, maybe. Sometimes people can say things and they just resonate, don't they? They resonate in our, it's something in our spirits. In Proverbs, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. You know, is Buki here? Yes, I'm sorry, Buki, I'm going to really embarrass you actually, but whenever I speak to Buki, I don't know about you, but joy just comes out of you. And I feel it, I sense it, I feel loved, I feel built up whenever I speak to you. And I'm sorry to embarrass you like that, but, you know, I just wanted to think of some examples of when people speak well, actually. I was also reflecting on, Nathan and I a few times have been to a leadership conference in London in the Royal Albert Hall. It was an amazing, impressive building. And 5,000 people, Christians, at this conference are in this hall, and it's incredible. And they most years have a Catholic cardinal speak. And I may have shared this before, but the first time there was a Catholic cardinal when I was there, you could have heard a pin drop with the sort of the atmosphere that descended as this cardinal started to speak and share about his faith. It was incredible, and it was just, he was so humble, and you just felt this peace somehow. It was like this sort of healing peace just upon us all, just with the words that he spoke. So, verse 10, let's remind ourselves. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. As I said before, I'm sure that for all of us, there are times when we do speak well, but there will be times when we don't. And I don't know if you are currently feeling a bit down in the dumps because of what we've been talking about. And I know some of us know that we are in the slow lane on this one. We're all in the slow lane on certain things. And if this is your slow lane, be encouraged, okay? Because of what I'm going to come on to say in a minute. But I just want to say, you probably won't be feeling any worse than me because I have rather naughtily skipped the very first bit of that passage, which says this: not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So you can't feel a lot worse than I do standing up here talking about this, because I'm going to be judged more strictly, and for those of us that teach will. So it is challenging stuff. But here's the hope. You see, if we're not Christians, we just stay in that messy place and we stay feeling rubbish and we stay feeling guilty and we stay feeling, you know, hurt. And it may be people have said things to us, by the way, that have really hurt us and affected us. But the hope is we have, as Christians, the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit, that's God in us. And he comes into our hearts and he changes our hearts and our minds. That's his job. That's the business of the Holy Spirit, is to change us, to shape us, to mold us, to make us more and more the people that Christ wants us to be. Maybe some of us have had difficult childhoods and been very heavily criticized or hurt. And these sorts of things can affect the way that we speak now, actually the way we behave now, the way we speak now, because of things that have happened to us. And if that's you, it may be, you know, you need some deeper prayer ministry, maybe even counseling for things that have happened in the past. But for most of us, I think it's about being aware, and it's about that fruit of the Spirit that isn't on there, self-control. Okay, being aware when we're not speaking well, you know, maybe when we're tired, maybe when we're, you know, and there are certain triggers, certain people that you see and you come away and you're like, in your head. And you might say that to your husband in the car on the way home, or to your friend when you next speak to them. Or maybe certain members of your family or people at work. You know, you just know when they're gonna, when you have a meeting with them. Whew, how's it going to be afterwards? There are times that we can actively acknowledge our weak moments when we just might fall into that not speaking well about people. Self-control. It's kind of a habit. I think sometimes, I think British people, it's a habit. You know, we've just got so used to moaning about everything that that's just what we do. We just moan, moan, moan. And we feel a bit better for about 5 minutes, don't we, when we've had a good old moan about somebody. But actually, then we feel a bit rubbish because it's not great. With the help of the Holy Spirit, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, we can break free from these things. But we have to actively engage with that process. It's sort of working in the opposite spirit, we call it, don't we? So, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? It means we can say sorry. We can come to the table and we can say sorry for the times that we haven't said things kindly or nicely, or we've not said the truth, or we've blamed others. And we can say sorry to Jesus for those things. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to come in us more fully, to help us to be these things more and more. We can also influence those around us. We just talked about swearing, actually. I'll just say, when I first sort of came to faith in my mid-20s, I swore a lot, a lot. I was with a group of friends, and everybody swore, and I swore. And I'm, you know, I'm just embarrassed to share that, but I did. So when I first came back to being a Christian again, I asked God to help me. Please help me to stop swearing. And actually, for me, it was instant. I really haven't sworn ever since, maybe once. But, you know, it hasn't been an ongoing temptation. So for me, in that one, was immediate. But other things take longer, don't they? They take longer. And that's just, for whatever reasons, they do. And we just ask the Holy Spirit day by day to help us with those things. We can also influence the environment that we're in. So just on the theme of swearing, my last job was in a charity where there wasn't a lot of swearing, but my boss, the CEO, and a direct colleague, lovely, lovely people, and I spent a lot of time with them and a lot of meetings, but they really swore. And they would swear with Jesus and Christ and Jesus Christ and I found this really hard. I found it really hard. And it's really hard. What do you say? It's your boss. And, you know, you don't want to embarrass them, but actually it matters. So I was kind of praying about it. And then one day, one of them said, "Oh, Jesus." And I kind of thought, I've got to, and I just said, I think God really helped me. I said, "Oh, I don't think we need to blame him for that, do we?" And I kind of was making a bit of a joke about it, but it kind of wasn't at the same time. And I can honestly say they worked, they realized, you know, they weren't trying to be unkind to me, but suddenly it was that, "Oh, actually, you don't really like us saying this." And, you know, they cared for me and they really tried after that to not. So we can influence the environment that we're in. So let's go back to the beginning. Verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. Sometimes we're like this beautiful dahlia, and sometimes we're a bit more like this bramble, aren't we? But God loves us. We're his children. He loves us whatever. We never stop being his children. And he says, "Come, come to me. Come to my table." You can say you're sorry, and we move on. We move on together. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. And sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's challenging, And Father God, for those of us that are feeling a bit, well, this morning, maybe they've said things this week that they feel bad about. Perhaps things have been said to them that have hurt. And so, Jesus, I just pray for each of us, wherever we are, that we would know that we are your children, and we just come and say sorry for these things. And you promise to help us, in these areas that we find particularly hard. So thank you, Jesus. And we pray for the Holy Spirit just to come upon us more and more, day by day, to help us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.